I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me.
Thank you, Lord Almighty. Glory, praise, and honor to you, Lord. Worship you, love and adore you, my God and King. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Lord and God of all. Hallelujah.
Praise him. Thank God. I also want to thank him for, like Paul even said that about that song. I love the song. I never shall forget the day. All that God's been to me, I'm just so thankful for it. And coming out of camp, there's been so many battles this last week or so. I know Satan's just trying to fight and make things difficult and complicated, but I thank God he's right there for us. He's right there with us in all things. And go to God in prayer. He works things out. He's done that couple different times this week for me, of things that I was really okay, what's going to happen here, what's going to happen here, and God works it out. And I thank him for his love, his spirit, how he comes. He works with you, and his amazing love. I just praise him tonight. Sing Think About His Love, chorus number 301.
Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love.
about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Thank you, my Lord and King. Hallelujah. Praise and adore you, Lord. Love you, my God. Hallelujah. Glory and honor to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, my God and King. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Let's sing chorus number 334, where two or three are gathered. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. And I will never leave you or forsake you. I'll go with you to the end. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. Two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. I will never leave you or forsake you. I'll go with you to the end. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. Two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. I will never leave you or forsake you. I'll go with you to the end. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. Where two or three are gathered in my name, yes, I'll be there. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. I will never leave you or forsake you. I'll go with you to the end. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. Thank you, my God and King. Glory and honor and praise to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless your name, my Lord and King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you, my God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. You may praise him. Thank you, Lord. I have an announcement tonight. The Soldatna Progress Days Parade is Saturday, July 23rd. We are in need of folks to walk with the float and pass out candy and flyers. This is an amazing opportunity to shine our light in our community. Please text or call Amy or Emily with questions. Sign up on the list on the door if you can help. Praise the Lord. Let's sing chorus number 273, Take It All.
Take it all, take it all, what this world can offer me, take it all. In 100 years from now, it won't matter anyhow what this world can offer me. Take it all. Take it all. Take it all. What this world can offer me. Take it all. In 100 years from now, it won't matter anyhow what this world can offer me. Take it all. Take it all. Take it all. What this world can offer me, take it all. In 100 years from now, it won't matter anyhow what this world can offer me. Take it all. Take it all. Take it all. What this world can offer me, take it all. In 100 years from now, it won't matter anyhow what this world can offer me. Take it all.
Thank you, my Lord and King. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Glory and honor to you, Jesus. Bless your name, my Lord. Love you. I adore you, God. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name.
I am so thankful for another opportunity for us to be together in God's house tonight, and could just continuously give him thanks and praise for the camp that we just had. And I've been taking the time this week just to process all of the things that we were fed and that we learned in our workshops and in our teachings. And our God is so amazing how well he feeds us and through so many different people. And, you know, I've always, over the years, loved camp because you get to hear from people that you don't normally get to hear from, and there's always some little piece of maybe a scripture that you've heard, you know, 1,000 times, but then someone new shows it to you in a different way. And I'm so thankful that God does that for us. I love him so much, and I'm just thankful to be here tonight to praise and worship him, and just ask you to continue to praise him with us.
Every secret, every shame, every fear, every pain, living. wake up, sleeper, lift your head. We were meant for more than this. Fight the shadows, conquer death. Make the most of the time we have left.
We are the light of the world. We are the city on a hill. We are the light of the world. We gotta, we gotta, we gotta let the light shine. We are the light of the world. We are the city on a hill. We are the light of the world. We gotta, we gotta, we gotta let the light shine. Let the light shine, let the light shine. We are called to spread the news. Tell the world the simple truth. Jesus came to save freedom in his name. Let his love break through. We are the light of the world. We are the city on a hill. We are the light of the world. We gotta, we gotta, we gotta let the light shine. We are the light of the world. We are the city on a hill. We are the light of the world. We gotta, we gotta, we gotta let the light shine.
We are the light, we are the light, we are the light. So let your light shine brighter. We are the light, we are the light, the light. Jesus, you are the light, you are the light, you are the light. We will lift you high and shine, shine, shine. We are the light, we are the light, we are the light. So let your light shine brighter. We are the light, we are the light, we are the light.
We are the light, we are the light. So let your light shine brighter. We are the light, we are the light, we are the light. Jesus, you are the light, you are the light, you are the light. We will lift you high and shine, shine, shine. We are the light of the world. We are the city on a hill. We are the light of the world. We gotta, we gotta, we gotta let the light shine. We are the light of the world. We are the city on a hill. We are the light of the world. We gotta, we gotta, we gotta let the light shine. Let the light shine, let the light shine. Let the light shine, let the light shine.
Hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Love and adore you, my God.
Let's sing our last chorus tonight before we hear from the Word of God. Chorus number 194, Jesus, name above all names.
Jesus, name above all names, wonderful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Jesus, name above all names, wonderful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Jesus, name above all names, wonderful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us.
with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Jesus, name above all names, wonderful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Jesus, name above all names, wonderful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word.
Bless you, holy name. Worship and adore you, God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Almighty. Thank you, my God and King. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Will you stand with me tonight for the Word of God?
You may be seated. I'm thankful to be in God's house tonight. I'm thankful that he fueled the fire of testimonies. Praise God. I might not be able to hear all the testimonies, but I certainly can feel the testimonies. I don't hear all the words, but I feel the glory that you're giving to God and the thanks that you're giving to God. And I'm so thankful that our camp put that fire back into his people for testimonies, because it's so important and it's such a great part of our services together. I want to welcome everyone here tonight and everyone that's online to our AAJC Wednesday night Bible study in the book of Acts. And I want to remind you to keep all of our brothers and sisters in your prayers. A lot of people are home sick or healing from surgeries, and many people are on vacation. So just remember this, ASAP, always say a prayer. That's an easy thing to remember every day, ASAP. I'm also going to give you a very early reminder for you to mark your calendars for our Friday night prayer as a church body, the last Friday of the month, July 29th. So mark your calendars for that at 7 p.m. It's a very important time that we gather together. And that's our one Friday a month that we do join together in unity and prayer as a church body. You're welcome to come every Friday anytime between 6 and 9. But on that July 29th, that last Friday of the month, 7 p.m. for everyone to gather together. Do your very best to be here in that one mind and accord. And that's also the week of July 24th through the 30th is the week of prayer and fasting, and where you take one of those days as your day to fast, just on your own between you and God. Okay, tonight we are in Acts chapter 13, and we are on question 22, which is, what was the reason why the Gentiles freely received the truth about Jesus Christ being the Savior? I'm going to Acts chapter 13 and reading verses 44 through 49. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. All right, again, the question is, what was the reason the Gentiles believed the truth about Jesus Christ being the Savior? What did you come up with? And I also have another question for you is, what is the definition of a Gentile, since we're talking about Gentiles in the scriptures? Who's going to be Rick? Oh, do we have a... Oh, thank you, Lily.
The part about the reason that the Gentiles freely received Jesus as the Savior, I just think the way they received it with gladness, they glorified God, they believed in it. When I was reading through it, the phrase "put it off from you," as far as talking about the Jews, when I looked up put it from you, that is, it, put meant to cast away, to thrust away, to push off. The Jews pushed away, whereas opposite, the Gentiles received it with gladness, glorified God, believed, and they had a desire for the truth.
Amen, exactly. Anyone else? Marty and Tracy, or you can just come up to Tracy first and then work your way around, make it a shorter path for you.
Somewhat repetitive what Rick said, but you know, that's what I thought. They had receptive hearts. We always say, if you have a love for the truth, and I just thought every single one of us heard that word, somebody told us, and we had a choice. We mm-hmm. could have not listened to it, like the Jews turned away from it, or had that love for the truth and that desire to hear more and to seek more. And as I was reading, I was looking over earlier in the chapter when Paul is giving his sermon at Antioch, and in verse 26, it just jumped out to me. And obviously he was talking to a mixed group of people, but it says, "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is this word of salvation sent."
Amen. You've taken my teaching, praise God, Marty. That makes me happy.
So as we know, most of the Jews were raised in God's word in the Old Testament, and so they knew everything that was of God's word up to that point. And they had the historical record of God's greatness, and all the things that God did was recorded in that word. But these Gentiles, they didn't have that. And mostly what they had was pagan worship and worship by many different gods, and gods that really never had an effect in their life. But, you know, here comes these men who have a power inside of them, and not only are they telling them about God, but they're showing them through their lives and through these miracles and works that they're doing. And so suddenly these Gentiles believe because of the mighty works that are being done.
Amen. Sherry Reeves in the back, and then Ron Larson.
As I was thinking about the Gentiles, they had that readiness of mind, and they believed what was happening, and they believed the word that was being taught to them, and which was the truth. And the other thing that stuck in my mind was about the grounds. If you talk about the good ground, and you know, they received it, then what do they do with it from there? But it made me think of us as today. What do we do with it when it's put before us? Are we going to have that readiness of mind to be able to apply that, or are we going to be like the Jews and push it away?
Amen. Well, we did about testimony, praise God. Ron Larson. That was the word that was brought out at camp. Testimonies for God.
I need to go back to that scripture in 46 there where Paul and Barnabas were speaking to them. And he said, I'm bringing you this word of God. But think of the conviction part here where he said, judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Think of what that had to do in their minds. Of, you're telling me that? And they go down and I also think of the parable where the master was having a great feast and he said, go call these people and bring them and invite them. I want to celebrate. And people made every excuse under the sun for not wanting to come. And he said, go into the hedges and byways and offer it to other people that they may come. And it's kind of like that to the Gentiles when the Jews turned it down.
Yes. Anyone else? And that's Paul.
Well, just everything everybody said was right on as far as the way I see it. But I was looking at this one verse where it's in verse 46 where it says, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken unto you, but seeing you put it away from you and judge yourself unworthy for everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. I was just thinking about when God call me or anybody else, that he's got a reason, a time frame. He's got a time clock. He knows he's got this all laid out in his mind how he wants to do this. And so he set all these things in motion. It just amazes me how God's system works. Our minds cannot comprehend a lot of this stuff, but just, you know, this is 2,000 years later, and you look at this thing, and it's just like he's talking to you today. This is exactly what goes on.
Amen. Anyone else on this? What about the definition of a Gentile? Who is a Gentile? Who here is a Gentile in their body? Unless you're Jewish, you better raise your hand because we're all Gentiles. Unless you come from the Jewish lineage and that's your heritage. But otherwise, we're Gentiles. A person who is not Jewish is Gentile. It's a Hebrew word, G-O-Y. It's an easy Hebrew word, and it means a nation. And when it's plural, it means nations. So the nations of the world that were not Hebrew were Gentiles, and that's us. Everyone here, everyone online, we are Gentiles. Something that stood out to me in verse 46 was that words waxed bold. I like that, waxed bold. And I asked myself, have I ever waxed bold? Well, yes, I have, only because of God's Spirit within me. And hopefully the fire you received at camp will make you want to wax bold with God's word. And I know one of the saints did share with me that they did wax bold after camp the very next day when they went to work. They witnessed to one of their coworkers. And I thought, how wonderful is that? I mean, that's like the scripture coming to life. Everything that we were taught at camp, everything God's word fed us, comes to life. For me, camp was like scripture in living color. And it was so alive. God's word alive right before all of our eyes. And I'm so thankful that God does that. So in verse 27 also that we just read is a scripture that Paul is referring to. And I want to turn to that Old Testament scripture in Isaiah chapter 42, and verses 6 through 9. It's so important to see that Old Testament to the New Testament and how God's word doesn't change. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God gave prophecy about the Gentiles thousands of years ago. And today we are part of that prophecy being fulfilled. We are fulfillment of prophecy because we're the Gentiles. Isaiah chapter 42 and reading verses 6 through 9. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people for a light of the Gentiles. That was the Old Testament. That's prophecy. Jesus was to be the light of the Gentiles. And in verse 8 or 7, it goes on, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. This is a scripture that you can use to show the oneness of God, that there's one God. And God does not share his glory with any other gods. Verse 9, behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Before it happens, God tells his people through prophecy, through his word. God always gives his people notice or warnings or signs of the times, of what is to come. God uses prophecy and he uses his word that is taught. What you hear. That's why it's so important for everyone to stay current with the teachings of God. If you're on vacation, you're homesick, you're working, whatever the reason is that you cannot join together as the scriptures teach, but you can still listen to the teachings that are online or you can live stream, as many of you do. Because God uses his word to bring his people understanding of the signs of the times that we're living in today. And his word teaches us how to live in this natural world, how to live a godly and a spiritual life. Amen. Let's turn over to the New Testament, to Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 32. And this is about a man, Simeon, who saw the same prophecy. And you see throughout the word of God that God repeats himself just like parents do with their children while they're training them. Aren't we all being trained? I'll never stop being trained by God and his word. Never. So reading Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. I believe most people here today are just and devout, and waiting for the catching away of the bride or the rapture. And how blessed we are to live in this dispensation of grace. When you study the word of God, you see that more and more. Just what a blessing and honor it is. Why the scripture says that even the prophets of old desired to live in this time that we live in today. Think about camp. Going on to verse 26 through 30. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, yes, they obeyed the law, the laws of the land that they lived in. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. What a revelation. What an honor Simeon must have felt to be have this revelation given to him and that he knew who the Messiah was. He knew and he understood that Jesus was the promised Savior that was to bring salvation to all mankind, to all nations, Gentiles included. Verses 31 and 32, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. This salvation was for all people, or you could say for all nations, which we are a part of. A light to lighten the Gentiles, that's us. Lighten means to bring revelation to. When you go back to the original, you'll see that. Lighten means revelation. The revelation that was the prophecy of the Messiah, it was fulfilled in Jesus, and it's for the Jews and the Gentiles. It says it right here. Simeon saw it because the Holy Spirit revealed it to him. Going over to Acts chapter 28 and verses 24 through 31. Now Paul's in Rome and he's witnessing, he's teaching, he's preaching about Jesus. That was his life. That was his purpose for living. And these scriptures state why the Jews did not freely receive the truth. Reading Acts chapter 28, starting at verse 24. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. One of you put that in your answer. It's the same today. Some people, when they hear the word of God, are going to believe, and some are not. But that doesn't mean we stop telling people about it. Verses 25 through 27. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers. And he's quoting scripture, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. He's talking about the Jewish people. And seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Paul uses God's word because, as someone brought out in their answer, the Jewish people knew the Old Testament prophet teachings. They knew the word of God. And Paul and Peter and the apostles used that word in their teachings to the Jews and the Gentiles. Going on in verses 28 through 31. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. They will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. Now, this great reasoning means that they had great disputes, and the Jewish people were very good at that. Very passionate, very fierce in their disputes and what they believed or wanted to talk about or debate or get their point across. But it's the same today. People are still disputing what the Word of God means. That's why we have thousands upon thousands of religions. But there is only one. This is it. Right here. That's why his word tells us to study it, to know it, learn it. In it, you think you have eternal life. Well, you do if you live it. Verse 30. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, Jew and Gentile. And what did he do for those 2 whole years? Preaching the kingdom of God, teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Paul continued to do God's work, preaching and teaching to everyone who came to him. So why do you and I receive or believe or have faith in God's word so freely? Why do you and I? Somebody answered it already. Marty?
Well, he's not remote. He's not just a statue sitting on an altar. He is a living God that interacts with us. He touches us. We feel him in our mind and in our heart. And then if we follow his plan, he fills us with his spirit. And he continues to touch us. We speak in another tongue as evidence. And then we live by faith, but he gives us all of that to know that beyond a doubt that he's real.
Amen. Beyond a doubt. Aren't you glad that you can feel God? Can you imagine if you never felt God? You never felt that touch from God. You never felt his love. You never felt his peace. You never felt his joy, as some of us got to feel at camp. I can't imagine my life without it. Once you've experienced it, it's like once you've received the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, once you've had that experience, nobody can tell you that it's not real. Nobody can take that from you. And that is your testimony. Praise God. So why do you and I receive this word of God? Why do we have faith? Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and Tracy said this, in verses 8 through 17. And everything else everyone has said. These scriptures tell us why we freely receive, because we have a love for the truth. Not for part of the truth, but all the truth. A love for all the truth of the Word of God. Reading 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 to start with. And then shall that wicked be revealed. That hasn't happened yet. That wicked, or that lawless one. And when I watch the news, I think about lawlessness in our world today. There's a lot of lawlessness. And I was talking about that with Paul, about some of the things that were on the news. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. It's something I never thought I would ever see. The way people treat each other, the way young people treat older people. It was just heartbreaking to me to see that in our news. But it's what's in the world. And that comes from the spirit of Satan, the lawless one, who is not revealed, the Antichrist. That's this wicked one that we're just reading about. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Praise God. It's temporary what he has in this world, what Satan can do. God is going to get rid of him forever. Verse 9, even him, the same Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Yes, he will have power, signs, lying wonders. That's why you need to know the word of God, because you will be able to discern the difference. You'll be able to know what's truth and what isn't truth by the word of God. In verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Deceivableness of unrighteousness, that's a mouthful. And it just means unrighteous deception. That's what Satan is, full of deception. That's what sin is, deceives you into thinking it's okay to sin. Deception, taking you away from God, out of God's presence. And we read about this in Acts chapter 28, in verse 27, where it says the hearts of the people have waxed gross, which means they've grown dull. Their ears are dull of hearing. They don't want to hear all of the word of God, just the love parts. Isn't that true today? Scriptures say they're going to look for teachers that tickle their ears, make them feel good. They've closed their eyes to the truth of the word. The truth of the word is, what does the scripture say? It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And the truth that is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That is what truth is. And you can write the scripture down. It's in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. There's more in that scripture. I want you to look at it. You should know that scripture about the truth of the word of God. But this dull of hearing and dull of seeing, that's not us, is it? I mean, we're not dull of hearing, are we? No. We've not closed our eyes and heart to the truth, have we? No, not this group of Gentiles here, online Gentiles. Or if you are a Jew, but you're part of the body of believers, we are not dull of hearing or dull of vision because we do have a love of the truth, all of the truth. That's why each one of you are here. That's why I came all the way to Alaska, because I was not going to be satisfied with anything but all of the truth. I had religion all my life, all my life. I believed in God all my life from a little girl. I prayed all my life. But I didn't have understanding. I didn't have truth living inside of me. I didn't have power to lead an overcoming life. That all came when I received the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Nobody taught me that. Nobody actually sat me down and read those scriptures to me before I came to church. I didn't have a Sunday school. I had catechism. I didn't learn that. But down at that altar, that first night, when I felt God, the power of God, for the first time in all of its glory, I was covered with that glory. When I sat at camp, I saw glory. That's what I saw on people, God on people. I see glory. That is God on each one of us. And that's what it was like the first night I received the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Now, did I hear myself speak in a long language, an unknown language? No, but I did hear myself speak that I did not understand what I was saying under the power of the Spirit. But nobody taught me that, and nobody can teach you that. It's as the Spirit gives the utterance, that infilling of the Holy Spirit, different than the gift of tongues. That's a whole Bible study in a different time. But there's two different tongues. Tongues when you receive The evidence of tongues when you receive the Holy Spirit, that's the evidence God chose. We don't get to choose what is going to prove to me that God is now inside of me, a portion of God's Spirit, as much as my body can contain. We don't choose that. God does. And he chose tongue. And it was just taught about the tongue being the smallest member of our body and the most unruly and does the most damage in the natural. That's why the Word of God teaches over and over and over about your words, your actions, how you treat one another. Words that come out of our mouth should be kind. I just came across a saying. It says, if you have nothing kind to say, be quiet. That's pretty simple. If you don't have something kind to say to someone, don't speak. Pray. That's always ASAP. That's always your fallback. So that was my little segue there. Going on, back to the scriptures here. Verses 11 through 12. And for this cause, because they didn't have a love for the truth, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now you might think, whoa, those are some pretty strong words. Who would say that to somebody? Obviously, God would, because it's in his word. And this isn't the only place it's in his word. So it's part of God's word, but it's not all of what God is. But it is part of that goodness and severity of God that God has been bringing out in his teachings, that he wants his people to understand. Yes, the love is the most beautiful thing, God's love between his people, between him and us. But there is that other part that you will have to answer to God for if you don't obey his word. Just like a parent has consequences if the children don't obey or listen. But why? Why does a parent give a child consequences? For their own good. God never says don't do this if it's something that's going to be good for us. But if it's something that's going to hurt us or hurt someone else, you hurting someone else, then you're going to see it in his word as a commandment. Oh, you mean God does commandments? Says, don't I command you? God's telling you what to do? Who in this world can tell another person what to do? People get offended. I can't come up to you and tell you what to do. I know people get their feelings hurt or they get offended at you or they just walk away. Have you ever had that happen? It has happened. But that's where we're all still retraining ourselves, renewing our minds, our words, our hearts on how to treat one another with God's love, God's kindness, God's words. Continuing to read verses 13 through 17. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. There it is, your belief of the truth, your love of the truth. God's chosen you because he saw that you were going to obey his word. That's why you're chosen. He sees what you're going to do in your life before it ever happens. Verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel, the gospel that we're supposed to share with everyone, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Stand fast, be firm, don't give up the fight. Hold the traditions which you have been taught. We've all been taught traditions here. We do them every camp. We do them every service. Hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. From the beginning, God had chosen the Gentiles because he knew that we would have a love for the truth, and that love brings obedience to the word of God. Amen. God's word is not complicated. It's not grievous. It's not hard. Turn to Romans chapter 2, verse 29. Just one scripture. Because we believe and have faith, we're Jews. How do I know that? Well, the word of God tells me that. Romans chapter 2, reading verse 29. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. Inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but God. It's our heart and our spirit that God looks at, not the outward show. Yes, God has guidelines, and yes, his word teaches us all that we are to do to live a godly life. But God looks also at your heart, your intent, and only God knows what's in your heart and why you do what you do, or why you choose what you choose for your life. You can't fool God about anything. Turn to Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. And this is going to be my last scripture for the evening. Because of faith, because of our faith, we have freely received and we believe. Our faith as Gentiles, that makes us a Jew inwardly. Because we have faith, a love for the truth. And reading Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, that's the Old Testament, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. The faith of Abraham, who believed and obeyed God. We are of the faith of Abraham. We are Jews inwardly. Abraham's faith brought obedience to God, and our faith brings us into obedience to God and his word. Amen. Faith fuels the fire. Faith fuels the fire. The fire that God gave us at camp. And that fire is still here. It hasn't left. It's not going anywhere. It's up to you as the individual. Now, back in church, we're all spread out. But it's up to you to use that faith with God's fire. Every time you come to church, every day, on the job, going to school, everywhere, and everyone you come in contact with, let your faith fuel God's fire. And you'll be everything God's word says that he wants you to be, according to his word. That's why we're here. We are here for God. That's my final scripture, and we all have an opportunity to do just that tonight. Fuel your fire through your prayer. I love prayer, and I love God's people praying. So if our musicians and singers will come up at this time. And thank you for your input, which was exactly what was in my notes for teaching. Praise God.